бързо. В точно всъщност преди лятната ваканция на парламента беше доста скоростно приета доста сериозна реформа. От една страна беше редуцирана до 1 лев държавната субсидия, а от друга страна бяха въведени неограничени корпоративни дарения. Това направи българския модел от така доста европейски, егалитарен модел, в който има сериозно публично и държавно участие в финансирането на партиите. Минахме в другата крайност, модел, който разчита така почти изцяло на частно финансиране. Това състояние на нещата просъществува няколко месеца, всъщност само по времето, можем да кажем, на местните избори. След местните избори с поправка в бюджетния закон субсидията беше върната на нива от 8 лева. Преди това тя беше от 11-13 лева и сега беше върната от 8 лева. Това са събитията, които се случиха. Сега, междувременно, и тук вече ще дойде до нашия гост от чужбина, доктор Марчин Валецки от Организацията за сигурност и сътрудничество, Бюрото за демокрация и човешки права в Варшава. Това е организация, която играе важна роля от гледна точка на международните стандарти в регламентирането на политическите партии и в частност финансирането на политическите партии. Към нея има един експертен панел, група от експерти, международно утвърдени експерти, които освен, че участват в изработването на така нареченото гъвкаво право на Организацията за сигурност и сътрудничество в Европа, заедно с Венецианската комисия, тези експерти дават и становища по реформи в държавите членки на ОССЕ. Имаме така късмета, мога да кажа, че този експертен панел излезе с становище по нашите реформи. Това становище беше готово в края на ноември. И аз просто ще така ще обобщя най-важните изводи от това становище. В него се препоръчваше преосмислене на отмяната на така държавната субсидия, свеждането и до 1 лев на глас. И основно на базата на два типа аргументи. Първият аргумент е, че реформата е проведена без нужната дискусия, нужното отчитане на мнението на всички заинтересовани страни и без анализ, който да обославя нуждата от една такава реформа. Вторият тип аргументи в това становище са, че всъщност на самото свеждане, радикално свеждане на държавата, публичната субсидия за политическите партии от така сериозни нива до 1 лев е доста радикален шок върху партийната система, който може да има ефект върху принципите на политическия плурализъм. Тоест, в българската политическа среда може да действа като облагодетелства част от политическите партии и същевременно постави друга част от политическите партии под сериозна тежест. Вторият важен въпрос, който беше разгледан в становището, е липсата на таван на корпоративните дарения, даренията от юридически лица. Тази липса на таван беше въведена като компенсация за отнетата държавна субсидия или редуцираната държавна субсидия. Експертите на ОССЕ от панела, за който стана дума, повдигат резонния въпрос, че в една среда, политическа среда като българската, в която има силни съмнения за корупция по високите етажи, неограниченото корпоративно финансиране, може да създаде допълнително впечатление у хората за нерегламентирани връзки и зависимости между бизнес и политика. И тук аз се спомням една от дискусиите, бяхме с госпожа Нушева в бюджетна комисия, един от вносителите на предложението за неограничени дарения, господин Йордан Цонев от ДПС, самият той също каза, че тази реформа ще доведе до по-силни зависимости между бизнес и партии. Сега, сами знаете какво е сегашното състояние на нещата. Ние ще имаме специален панел, третия панел ще бъде за частното финансиране, но от сега можем да кажем, че тая компенсация, която беше предвидена за политическите партии като заместител на държавната субсидия, остана и след възстановяването на държавната субсидия, което може би повдига въпроси за целесъобразността на това състояние на нещата. Сега това е в най-общи линии проблематичното поле, което ще дискутираме днес, но като начало бих искал да започнем с един панел, в който доктор Марчин Валецки ще постави тези въпроси в малко по-широка перспектива. Така да се каже, да излезем малко от нашия вътрешен дебат и да се опитаме да видим принципни така дългосрочни проблеми в тази сфера. Марчин ще ни запознае и с последни тенденции, последни изследвания в областта на финансирането на партиите и се надявам, че с негова помощ, вече като преминем по-конкретната дискусия на българския модел, ще виждаме нещата и по-нюансирано, и така и по-трезво. Преди да му дам думата с огромно удоволствие, няколко думи за, може би, за работата, която той върши за финансиране на партиите. Аз бих казал, че той е един от така най-важните хора през последните години, които са допринесли значимо, заедно с този панел от експерти, за който стана дума към Организацията за сигурност и сътрудничество в Европа. Аз имам честта да съм участник в този панел, макар че така, за да избегнем някакви съмнения за конфликт на интереси, не съм участвал в писането на българското становище. То има за автори такива авторитети, като професор Ричард Кетц, и той е един от авторите на българското становище, Волите цигани от Латвия, която пък е двигателя на реформата в тази област в Латвия. Професор Омер Генчкая от Турция, може би водещия турски експерт в тази област. И така една млада изгряваща звезда на академичния хоризонт, Фернандо Касао Бертуа, който също колегите познават. В този смисъл академичните характеристики на участниците в тази експертна общност са отвъд съмнения, но бих искал отново да подчертая и ролята на Марчин Валецки, доктор Марчин Валецки с докторат от Оксфордския университет, като двигател изобщо на тази общност, която през последните поне две десетилетия се занимава с въпросите на финансирането на партиите в сравнителен план и която се опитва да разглежда тези проблеми поне от две ключово важни гледни точки. Едната гледна точка – демокрацията, принципа на политическия плурализъм, за който ще стане дума, и другата, разбира се, антикорупционната гледна точка, защото между финансирането на партиите и политическата корупция, структурна корупция по високите етажи има сериозна връзка. С тези уводни думи искам да дам думата на господин Марчин Валецки. Той ще говори на английски, въпросите към него задавате на български. Ще има превод симултанен за него, но тъй като работните езици на среща са български и английски, ще процедираме по този начин. Please, Martin, you have the floor.
Daniel, thank you very much indeed. A very good morning. First of all, thank you to the organizers, to Professor Smilov. It's a great pleasure to be here in Sofia. Don't get me fooled. I can understand Bulgarian, speaking Polish, Russian and Ukrainian. This would be one-way translation just to help you with some technical questions. I'll try to introduce you to the topic, how we are seeing it from the original perspective. Indeed, as Daniel mentioned, I am a director, head of the Democratization Department of OCODR. We are not working on election observation. We work more on election follow-up and preparation for our election observation. We do a lot of legal opinions. You will see some of the things which we are doing as an office. But my presentation, I'll try to take 20 minutes, is going to tell you more about the problem which we are seeing from the original perspective. And I'm not going to attack any person or any country. I'm going to focus on problems which we're seeing when it comes to funding politics and issues which we're trying to regulate or resolve. So if you have a brief presentation for you, I'll leave a copy. We can go to the first slide. Some quotes which might help you to get to understand how serious the problem is. And my own quote, I keep saying, the choice is very simple. Either democracy controls money or money will control democracy. That's the first fundamental choice we have to make. You can also see some more established policymakers, justices, over the last 100 years came to very similar conclusions. Famous Justice Brandeis from the US Supreme Court in that early 20th century made this comparison. We may have democracy, or we may have wealth concentrated in the hands of few, but we can't have both. It's ongoing struggle to control powerful oligarchic influences over our democracies. Former Italian Prime Minister behind Mani Pulite in 1993, addressing the Italian Parliament, said, "What needs to be said, and which in any case everyone knows, is that the great part of political funding is regular or illegal." And for all of us working on this issue, we know that throughout whole Europe in the 80s and 90s, most of the funding of politics was illegal, irregular, non-transparent. The current head of anti-corruption agency, ANAC Italian, is actually pointing out to another problem, is the penetration of political parties by organized crime groups. He speaks about Italy. What they've noticed over the last 20 years is because political parties became very weak, it is very easy for organized crime groups to penetrate political parties, to plant their own people into the key positions in political policy, in political leadership. Those are some of the quotes. I also want to kind of show you some of the worrying data coming from recent public opinion polls, Edelman Trust Index 2019. Only 1 in 5 believe the system is working for them. We have a crisis of representative democracy. I keep joking that throughout the whole Europe, more people believe in life on Mars than they trust political parties. And I can check that. I don't have the data for Bulgaria, but I can bet you that if you compare how many people trust in life on Mars, they will significantly be bigger than the people who trust politicians and political parties. If you look at the policy culture, there is a widespread perception that our democratic institutions, political parties, been captured by few very powerful interest groups. In some countries, we already talk about the state capture. We talk about oligarchic influences of our democracies. This is the latest Pew Research Center research looking at 30 years after the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Only few people really believe that politicians care about voters and they really care and represent us. I mean, showing you this. If you look at the perception on a TI 2010-13, the latest one probably would also confirm that. If you look at the Eurobarometer, obviously we have a huge problem when it comes to trust and perception of political parties. I would argue, my personal opinion as a former academic, but also at the level of organization, we're very concerned that the way political parties are operating, the way political parties are financed, is not sustainable in the long term. I mean, they are already at the point where public opinion, citizens, voters, members are questioning this 20th century concept of fundraising and the way political parties are collaborating. So, what is the result of it? And again, I don't want to start a discussion. I know there are many colleagues here working on populism. You see the growing importance of populist parties. I'll leave you with this presentation. You will see how we actually see, interestingly, starting from 2008. And there is a, again, we could talk about correlations. You could really see the impact of the financial crisis, the whole issue of transparency in politics, what people are seeing in terms of political scandals, on the growth of anti-systemic parties, parties which are criticizing the establishment. You know, you're probably familiar with a huge scandal in South Africa, with the Gupta scandal. I don't want to go into any countries in this region, but we have a similar problem with the state capture in a number of Eastern Partnership countries, you know, close to your monitoring developments in Moldova and Georgia and all I mean. This is an interesting study I want to mention because Vanya represents TI, my favorite organization. This is a new vision paper for 2030. Very strong emphasis on political corruption. According to TI, and I strongly agree with their assessment, the biggest challenge to democracy in the next decade is going to be the issue of political corruption. It's going to be the issue of how democratic institutions are functioning, starting with political parties and parliament. So for those of you who would like to read more of it, they have you know, regional themes, but political corruption throughout the globe is named as the number one issue which needs to be addressed by anti-corruption movement, and we subscribe to this assessment as an OECD. We also see this issue as a major threat to European stability and security. So, why are we talking about political parties and funding of political parties? You know, having Professor Daniel Smith in the room, I should go back to you know, key rulings of European Court. This is the fundamental democratic institution for the way democracy is operating. As observed by the court, in its nature and role that political parties are playing, the only bodies which can come to power and also have capacity to influence the whole of the regime in their countries. Essential role in ensuring pluralism and proper functioning of democracy. So the issue of funding of political parties, the issue of funding of politics, has a profound impact on the quality of democracy. You know, those discussions are not happening as often as they should, because unfortunately, either we do not recognize the importance of the issue, we do not have a technical expertise, or there are very powerful forces which do not want us to discuss this issue in great details. So what we are doing as an OECODR, you know us with our election observation, but in addition, we work on legal opinions. One of them was mentioned by Daniel earlier. We do a lot of legal opinions together with the Venice Commission on political parties. We work on legislative guidelines, including political party regulation guidelines. But what is more important, next slide please, is we always base our assessment on OSCE commitments. We are the only regional security organization, first of all the largest regional security organization, 57 participating states, political in nature, which clearly has its own commitments, the issue of political pluralism, the issue of political parties, separation of state from political parties, so-called abuse of state resources, very clear mandate to monitor elections, very clear mandate to support participating states in protecting the principle of political pluralism. And if you, for those of you who are more familiar with OSCE, we also have a very important commitment, Moscow 91, which actually allows us to come any participating state and offer assistance, technical assistance, support, because the issues of human dimension are of concern to the whole organization. They are not issues of internal matters. So when we talk about political parties, when we talk about political pluralism, quality of democracy elections, those are the issues of concern to the whole organization. So very quickly, you know, Daniel mentioned some of the legal opinions. We do not work with political parties or support any individual party. We are non-partisan in this sense. We work on party systems, on party regulations, at the requests of leading democratic institutions in a given participating state. We produced a number of legal reviews over the last 10 years. For those of you who are more interested, I strongly recommend you also to look at some of our recent opinions on Lithuania, Spain, Malta. We are currently working with ANAC in Italy. The issue of party funding is a problem for the whole Europe. The fact that we're discussing it here has nothing to do with any of the current political situation in Bulgaria. This is really a regional problem for the whole Europe, and we are far from finding solutions to it. I will briefly mention the Venice Commission of your guidelines. You can get copies on our website. But let's just go back to standards, because that's really the next slide. Starting with transparency and financial disclosure. I think it's very important to stress this is really a starting point. If I were to have a glass here and a water, which I don't, I always try to illustrate, when you are trying to come up with regulating and controlling funding of political parties, you need to have a transparent glass. That's your starting point, transparency. Then what you are doing, you are adding filtered water to make sure that political parties are getting some non-corrupt funding. That would be your public funding, which we will be talking about later. But the third thing you will see in my presentation is you still need to test the quality of water, so enforcement and control. So starting with transparency and financial disclosure. I'm not going to bore you with all the international standards. For those of you who really are interested in international standards, the most important is obviously UN Convention Against Corruption, Article 7. You should also remember that we have a Council of Europe standards, soft law, Committee of Ministers recommendation 2003 and 4, which we usually refer to. Those of you colleagues who are familiar with GRECO evaluation, you will remember third round of evaluation. It was based on Council of Europe recommendations when it comes to transparency. Clearly, we have a very strong standards when it comes to transparency in funding of politics. And, you know, we could have a discussion how far they're going. I would argue that they are stronger than protection of privacy of politicians and their personal data. Those who are paying for politics are paying for our democracies. They need to be scrutinized, and we have to have a very high threshold for this scrutiny. We also keep talking about reporting, and you will see, those of you who read our EOM report, our election observation report, you will see that we make some recommendations. The problem which we are seeing in Europe is the issue of timely access to this financial data. And keeping in mind that I might be on TV, I don't want to reveal all the details, but believe me, those of us who are working, those colleagues who are working on anti-money laundering, we know that within 3 hours, with this smartphone, I can move my money from 5 European jurisdictions, establish companies, hide my real identity, and basically contribute to politics without really revealing the true source of the funding. When it comes to new technology and funding from companies, corporate donations, we do have a problem with transparency. You know, in 21st century, there are so many loopholes that all the mechanisms which we created 20 years ago, they are looking now like a Swiss cheese, and there's not much cheese left. That's the problem. You know, so what that you will see the financial reports coming 30 days after the elections, annual reports coming from political parties year after, when I can move huge amounts of money within one day through five countries. Does anyone know which country is the number one investor and controls most of the companies in countries such as Georgia, Russia, Latvia, Ukraine? Which country? Exactly. So, Daniel knows how the system works. That's my main worry right now. We've been creating those regulations 10, 15 years ago, and we really need to catch up with anti-money laundering legislation and ability for some very powerful business people to move their money for different jurisdictions in no time. So, you know, I'm not going to bore you with, actually, you'll be interested to know that the country which still has a major problem with financial disclosure is in non-compliance with GRECO. It's not Bulgaria, no, it's Switzerland. Surprise, surprise. Let's move to the next one. New technologies. We are seeing how regulators, those bodies which are responsible for controlling funding authorities, are trying to catch up with technology. I am showing you some examples. Those databases are already 10 years old. The first database, which you could see, was actually I was helping to create in Lithuania in 2004-2005. Already real-time disclosure. So the future is really that all this data will be online, real-time, so organizations such as TI, academics such as Professor Smilov, do not have to wait a whole year or 30 days. The trend is very clear. We're moving towards using ICT to make this data available. And I hope next time we meet in Sofia, you already will have algorithms which will allow you to control financial reports. And such algorithms have been already created to help NGOs to find which reports are not accurate. And we will be happy to share with you the data and this information. So technology is also helping us. So let's, on one hand, there are risks coming from technology, but there are also opportunities to improve control. But those of us who are working on this issue, we know that it's not just transparency. You know, it's a key principle, but it's also the issue of controlling the quality of the water which we're providing to the body. This is our biggest problem right now in New York. Still, lack of effective audit and enforcement mechanisms. You will see throughout our reports, audio recommendation reports, some of the reports from 2016, and I added elections in Bulgaria. There is a problem with the regulators. They do not have sufficient expertise, capacity, resources, do not have access to financial information in a timely manner. Just to give you an example, not to make you feel better, but to show you that others also have these problems. I was a GRECO evaluator of UK and Italy, and I'll never forget my meeting with five major agencies which were controlling funding authorities in Italy. And I asked them, so how do you collaborate, create task forces and exchange information? So five gentlemen, senior gentlemen from different agencies, look at themselves and say, this is actually the first time we're meeting. This is how collaboration, cooperation among the agencies who are supposed to protecting our democracies looks like in the 21st century. So huge problem with agencies who are not able, because of their mandate, because of their resources, to collaborate. So this is the really a missing puzzle. You know, international standards are very clear, especially if you look at the Council of Europe. States should provide for independent monitoring in respect of the funding of political parties and electoral campaigns. The independent monitoring should ensure supervision of the accounts of political parties. You might think, very obviously, you know, we all know it. Actually, we are going back on this very issue in a number of EU countries, including Central European countries. So if you look at the audio reports for Hungary for last year, or the current report for Poland, this is our biggest problem right now, is the regulators are not only independent, they are not only, they're lacking independence, that's the first problem, but unfortunately, and we've seen in some EU countries, they are used as a political weapon against their political opponents. And this is clearly what our report on Hungary shows, that the regulator, in a partisan way, went after one of the major opposition parties and sanctioned it in a non-transparent, not really clear way during the campaign for financial regulation. So the issue of independence is coming back. You know, the regulator really needs to be independent, needs to be equipped with necessary resources to perform all those functions. Sanctions are also problematic. You know, we are seeing actually that when it comes to sanctioning political parties, in many European countries, those sanctions are what we would call cost of doing business. That they're so small, so ineffective, that many parties are just basically, they prefer to pay those sanctions rather than change their behavior. Loss of public funding used to be my favorite sanction for many, many years, but with the lack of independence of the regulator and with the rule of law crisis which we are seeing now in many European countries and lack of judicial overview of those sanctions, I am very concerned, you know, to what extent those toughest sanctions now again might be used in partisan selected ways. So I'm telling you about what we are seeing in Europe. So, you know, for years I was saying tough sanctions, effective sanctions, but, you know, we were operating within an environment in which rule of law was secured. Not the case anymore, unfortunately. But one thing I would argue, what is important is, this is what citizens, voters really expect. They are very happy with transparency. They're very upset with impunity. And when you have political parties, politicians, financing their campaigns, financing parties in a corrupt way, voters do not want to wait 2, 3, 5 years for the regulator to check the financial reports, to audit them, to investigate, and to do sanctions. So that's the problem now, is justice delayed, is justice denied. Voters are upset that we are taking a lot of time to sanction political parties and politicians. They are really expecting much faster enforcement. Very quickly, we will have a session about it. Obviously, you should not be surprised that over the years we've seen a growth of public funding. We are seeing, if you look at GRECO reports, in a number of countries, dependence on public funding. You will see that here, you know, Central Europe and South Europe is quite prominent. You know, we have a problem. We obviously have a problem with over-dependence on public funding. Why? Because membership is dropping everywhere, everywhere in Europe. And we are not seeing people queuing to contribute to political parties. You know, let me ask you a question. How many of you in the room ever contributed to a political party? Raise your hand. Okay, I understand there are cameras that you don't know. But, you know, we do have a problem with this issue. Another thing I wanted to point out, the positive messaging, because I think it should not be just about negative messaging, also positive messaging. On another hand, we're seeing a growing trend in Europe. More and more countries are linking public funding with promotion of gender equality. A very smart way of applying special temporary measures. So if parties want to get public funds, they need to make sure that they are promoting women's political participation. For a separate discussion, but believe me, there's no country in Europe which could argue that they achieved full gender equality. Even Iceland dropped recently. And according to our research which we did with Harvard University, the full gender equality in politics in Europe we will only achieve in 50 to 55 years. So this is a very effective mechanism where you are linking public funding to political parties with promotion of women's political participation. And you know, you see a number of countries which are actually using those techniques. And I think this is a positive trend. This is the data from 3 years ago. We've seen improvements in a number of countries, Ukraine now and Armenia also have those mechanisms. So, just to conclude, let's just jump quickly to the last slides. Public funding we'll discuss later. I see this as a three major challenges. The challenge number one is that, you know, we have a transparency, but access to data is really delayed, which does not allow us to conduct proper controls. I have a problem, and we have a problem as OSCE, you know, when we see how the regulators are performing their functions. Especially we're very concerned about their independence and lack of sufficient resources. And I think we really have to have a discussion about finding a balance between public funding and private funding. We do not have a right formula yet. This is something which we need to accept. Most of the people in Europe do not like public funding. Not in the way the public funds are utilized. And we don't have to discuss recent referenda initiatives, but there were many of them in Europe, not just in Bulgaria. Certainly, voters and citizens are expecting the public funds are going to be used in a different, smarter, better way. And I will stop here. Happy to take any questions.
Благодаря много на доктор Марчин Валецки. Мисля, че той даде много добра картина сравнителна картина на проблемите, които обсъждаме. Наистина този въпрос с баланса между частно и публично финансиране ще бъде, може би, в центъра на нашата дискусия, но и другите въпроси, които той повдигна, са изключително важни. Тук имаме участие от Сметната палата, стана дума за органите, които трябва да осигурят прилагане на правилата. Сметната палата по нашия модел е един от най-важните такива органи. Надявам се да чуем техните идеи. Някои от въпросите, за които стана дума в България, са особено тежки. Да речем, постигането на джендър равенство ще бъде, сами разбирате, предизвикателство, тъй като самата идея за джендър в България се сблъска с неочаквани трудности през последната година. Но, шегата на страна, да започнем дискусията. Един допълнителен въпрос, който аз ще се позволя да поставя, е как виждаме всъщност и ролята на международните стандарти, какво може да бъде направено на международно ниво, за да се подпомогнат и националните държави в решаването на тези проблеми. Марчен изложи съществуващите стандарти и трябва да кажем, че те не изчерпват полето, те остават на националните държави доста широка възможност да маневрират вътре в тях, но все пак, както видях, имаме и доста сериозна международна база, с която трябва да се съобразяваме, и много сериозни организации, не само ОССЕ. Марчен спомена и ГРЕКО. ГРЕКО е много важна. Тя е провеждала многократен мониторинг върху не само българските, но в рамките на цяла Европа регулации в тази сфера, така че тя също е източник на нормативна практика, с който трябва да се съобразим. С тези думи отварям дискусията и просто нямаше достатъчно места около кръглата маса, така че всички, които са тук, да се чувствате поканени да участвате пълноценно и равноправно. Заповядайте, има микрофони, които ще бъдат давани и залата. Заповядайте.
Да, разбира се. Добър ден на всички. Теодор Славев от Български институт за правни инициативи. Много благодаря на доктор Валецки за изключително интересната презентация. Ние имахме възможност да работим и с доктор Нушева и с доцент Смилов по един проект, който ни партнира IFES. И в някакъв смисъл също засегнахме темите, свързани с политическото финансиране. Но докато работим по него, в мен изникна въпроса, че финансирането е само едната страна, а другата е разходването на средства, или за какво и как партиите харчат парите си. В момента закон в международни стандарти и добри практики в тая област, включително и на законово ниво.
So if I understood correctly, and thanks a lot for mentioning IFES. This was my previous job. I was for years establishing the whole portfolio on political finance. Senior advisor working on this issue with IFES. Look, we could have spend an hour to discussing problems with expenditure and obviously in this part of Europe, we managed to resolve some of the issues which were related to, for example, systemic vote buying. You know, we should not forget that in the 90s, we had practices where parties were involved in using money, you know, to corrupt electoral processes, and there are many examples still in South Europe to see, you know, this problem still exists, it's not resolved, but it's not as prominent as it was 10, 15 years ago. You mentioned, and if I understood correctly, the issue of the money being kept in the banks and interests and parties basically you know, allocating their resources to certain banks. I would, again, not knowing the country-specific context, I would be very careful in the following cases. In general, what we've seen in a number of European countries is a collusion between public banks, semi-private banks, and political parties, but mostly when it comes to loans and credits. And I can use this example. This is a huge problem in South Europe. If you look at countries like Spain and Italy, very questionable relations between banks and political parties. Some leading parties in South Europe were owning millions. You know, in case of Spain, we're talking about more than 30 million euros to banks, unpaid loans and credits. Second issue which also concerns me is conditions on which loans, credits, and interest are given to political parties. That should be in line with market practices. So I'll be very concerned if a political party was getting an interest rate which is much, much higher than the interest rate which is on the market. But this is where regulators come in, and they need to pay attention to all those secret forms of supporting political parties. But let's be honest, unpaid credit, unpaid loan is the form of a donation, of an in-kind donation. And you know, it took us a few years to understand that those are the techniques parties are using. But what is more worrying in our part of Europe is we are going back to bad practices of abusing state-owned companies, where state-owned companies, especially the advertisement budgets, are unfortunately allocated for political projects. So so-called billboard campaigns, we've seen them in a number of Central European countries. Very dubious contracts for renaming advertisement companies. And then you have to be careful. So if I, for example, have a party going to a leading advertisement company and they are paying for services a fraction of the price which they should pay, and then, surprise, surprise, the same company gets 10 contracts from other state-owned companies, the light should go on. Something is wrong here. You know, why is this party paying for a small fraction of what they should pay, and then someone else is making deals with this provider? And we've seen it when it comes to media campaigning, billboard campaigning, designing campaigns, social media campaigns. So, you know, that was the problem which I would say was expenditure. When the party is paying a small fraction of the market value of the contract, and then you have a state-owned companies who are dealing with the same service provider, and they have a huge contract with them. But, you know, regulators, audit offices are aware of it, and this is why, you know, we have I would argue we have a very independent, very good audit offices in this region, and they are paying attention to those questionable contracts which state-owned state-owned companies are making. I can give you many examples, but this is something where we are very concerned, and if you look at our election observation reports, we are now, for the first time in this part of Europe, are really arguing about abuse of state resources. State resources are abused through the state-owned companies by ruling parties.
Вопросы, комментарии?
Здравейте.
Здравейте, колеги! Казвам се Искрен Иванов, преподавател в катедра политология на Софийския университет. Първо искам да благодаря на доктор Валецки за това, че е приел поканата и за неговата презентация. Моят въпрос ще бъде малко по-общ. Той е насочен към всички панелисти и към всички тук присъстващи, които може да го обсъдим. Така, преди, ако не ми обягва на паметта, няколко месеца, един от членовете на политическия елит в България каза, че реформата в партия в финансирането на политическите партии ще доведе до еднаквяването на българския и американски модел. Не знам дали ставаше дума за господин Йордан Цонев или за някой друг. Бих искал да попитам така при една такава констатация, как оценява доктор Валецки, имайки пред българския модел, американския модел, оправдано ли е едно такова сравнение, оправдано ли е едно такова твърдение, оправдано ли е като цяло. Благодаря ви.
Expert, academic, international expert, would recommend American model as it stands today. This is a highly dysfunctional, corrupt campaign finance model which got out of control because of number of rulings of the Supreme Court and lack of political will to reform the system. It was a great system when it was designed after the Watergate scandal with the Federal Election Commission, with the very strong powers, with matching funds, with public funding of presidential campaigns, with a very strong transparency provisions, and unfortunately, and this is a warning to all of us in Europe, you know, United States was one of the first countries to start regulating money politics, with the first reforms being introduced in mid-19th century, number of reforms in early 20th century to limit the control of oligarchic powerful business groups. And they failed. So every American expert will tell you we're very fortunate in Europe that we have a this balanced model with relatively strong and independent control, with public funding which allows to create a floor. Discussion is about a floor, making sure that everyone has a chance to compete in the race. We could argue about how should we have a CILIC, and many countries are saying, well, you know, CILIC might be an intervention in freedom of association, equal competition. But I, as someone who spent 6 years working in Washington with Federal Election Commission, and I worked in, more than 45 countries on this very issue, reforming the systems, I would never recommend the U.S. model as it is now. And even American experts would come to Europe to learn from us how to reform money politics. Canadian model is the one which we can discuss. More effective, but it's much closer to European model. And it's actually surprising that both Mexico and Canada, their models are much closer to European way of regulating money politics. But, Professor Smilov wrote a number of books on this topic, so, it would be unfair for me just to speak about that.
Аз ще си позволя само една бележка за една характеристика на американския модел, която рядко се обсъжда и хората не я разбират толкова добре. Както Марчин каза, още в началото на 20 век в Съединените щати се въвежда забрана за корпоративно финансиране. Тая забрана всъщност важи и до днес. Тоест корпорации не могат да дават директно пари на партии и кандидати. Но от 2010 година с решение на Върховния съд на Съединените щати, Citizens United, това, което беше направено, е, че са дали възможност на корпорациите, самите корпорации, да изразходват неограничено пари за политически цели по време на кампания. Тоест, те нямат право да дават на партии и кандидати, но самите корпорации могат да изразходват неограничено количество пари и това доведе до създаването на тези супер пакове. Всъщност това представляват корпоративни пари, които са концентрирани и се изразходват без формална директна връзка с партии и кандидати. И това прави американски модел още по-странен от български гледна точка. И представете си да дадем право на българска голяма корпорация да изразходва парите. В този смисъл наистина не става дума за прилагане на американския модел в България. Тая реформа, която беше въведена, всъщност това, което направи, беше, че ограничи държавните субсидии и разреши неограничени корпоративни дарения на за финансиране на партии, което, мисля, да разбирате, че е по-различно от американския модел, дори от тази гледна точка. Така, други въпроси, коментари?
If I can just add one more thing. Remember that in addition to what Daniel just said, the problem which we have in Europe is that we are all a real being for the last 100 years, a subject to foreign influence of our politics. If you look at the Italian politics, 60s, 70s, 80s, if you look at the Spanish politics, if you look at the politics, you know, during the Cold War, we had two superpowers financing politics in Europe. We are going back, unfortunately, to those models of the Cold War. And if you look at how politics was financed in Europe over the last 10 years, there are many cases of foreign influence. And Bulgaria is not the country with influence. You know, it is an issue that if you allow for corporate donations, I can guarantee you, you're opening your politics to huge opportunity for foreign influence through money. Because I was just showing you, within hours, I can establish companies in UK, Hungary, Malta, Portugal, Cyprus, channel the money, send them to Bulgaria, and I could, through the Bulgarian companies, which are controlled by foreign companies, in potentially, in a very easy way, I could influence political debate and political discussion. So that's another thing which we need to keep in mind. In US, FBI is using enormous resources to stop foreign influence of money into US system. We do not have the same mechanisms yet in Central Europe to protect our democracies against foreign funding.
Благодаря за въпроса и аз искам да изразя категорично съгласие с това, което казва Мачо Валетки. Не случайно един от големите проблеми, върху които беше фокусирана дискусията в Народното събрание през лятото на 2019 година, бе именно това анонсиране на така наречения отворен модел на финансиране на политическата дейност в България. И аз тогава си позволих да изразя едно доста категорично мнение, че така нареченото отворено финансиране всъщност превръща държавата в разграден двор. В условията на отворена икономика, при която икономическите субекти могат съвсем спокойно да осъществяват дейността си както в рамките на една държава, така и в рамките на общност от други държави, какъвто е Европейския съюз, ние не можем да неглижираме този въпрос и да подхождаме с лека ръка към въпроса за финансирането от юридически лица, без каквито и да било забрани и ограничения. Това е валидно още повече и при отчитане на обстоятелството, че ние имаме един модел за контрол върху финансиране на политическата дейност, който на пръв поглед дава относително широки правомощия на Сметната палата, но всъщност това е контрол по документи, контрол, който се извършва постфактум. Всички тези ограничения на средата не позволяват ефективен контрол и възпрепятстване на навлизането на пари с неясен произход в българския политически живот.
Имаме време за още един въпрос или коментар, преди да обявя пауза за кафе и вода в случая, защото
Can I just say one more thing? I think it's very important that discussions like this are happening. And are happening still in a situation which you are not facing a major scandal. This is one of the lessons I've seen from other countries. It's more difficult when you have concrete political scandal like in Spain, with Partito Popolare, or like in Italy, with Christian Democrats. it's better to have those discussions trying to prevent major scandals from happening. It's much more, I would say, dialogue-free and consensus-based approach than trying to reform the system after huge scandals. So please learn from the mistakes which happened in Spain, in Malta, in many other places in Italy, and continue with the discussion before you end up in a situation that public opinion is totally disillusioned with political parties and they are trying to find someone to blame.
Тази мъдра нотка може да приключим първия панел и да благодарим на Валерски.